For Bill Goggins, 1963 to 2006. It takes very little to govern good people. Very little. And bad people can't be governed at all. Or if they could, I never heard of it. Cormac McCarthy, No Country for Old Men. Author's note. This book is a work of nonfiction. It is based on more than 4 years of reporting, including hundreds of interviews, hundreds of thousands of pages of law enforcement reports, government databases, court documents, and internal communications from a criminal organization that involved thousands of people and conducted business on six continents. I have worked to corroborate every fact found here and to speak with as many participants as possible. Unfortunately, I couldn't speak to them all. Some are dead, murdered because of what they knew. Others declined to talk to me, out of fear that they might meet the same fate. Still others are in prison and desperate to avoid the perception that they've turned on their compatriots. A few are in hiding, running from prosecution or vengeance, real or imagined. But dozens of the people involved did share their stories with me, at risk of physical danger, legal jeopardy, or professional consequences. In three cases, specified in the source notes, I've altered the subjects' names. I did so because they feared for their safety and that of their families, because they were never prosecuted for the crimes described here, and because their names didn't appear in legal proceedings connected to these events. In other instances, I have described certain minor players, including some law enforcement officials or family members, only by their job descriptions or connections to more principal figures. Every individual in this book is real. The events they describe happened. Prologue. 2012, The Puzzle. Monrovia, Liberia, September 26, 2012. On a gray afternoon, three men enter a drab hotel room for a business meeting, months in the making. Two are white, a portly South African and his muscled European deputy. The other, with dark hair and a paunch of his own, is Latino, Colombian, or so he says. The hotel is in the Liberian capital, abutting the Atlantic Ocean on the coast of West Africa, but it could be any number of places in the world. The men's business is drugs and drugs and weapons are everywhere. They shake hands, nod heads, and begin speaking in the elliptical but familiar way of people who share the vernacular of a trade. They are cautious, but not cautious enough. A video exists to prove it. "I can see why you picked this place," says the South African, settling his substantial bulk into a maroon leather couch pressed against the wall. "Because it's chaotic. It should be easy to move in and out, from what I've seen." His name is Paul, and to a trained ear, his cadence carries a twinge of not just South Africa, but his childhood home, Zimbabwe, where he lived until his teens. His large white head is shaved close, and what hair remains has gone gray as he approaches 40. He has the look of a beach vacationer cleaned up for a dinner out, in an oversized blue polo shirt and a pair of khaki cargo shorts. His clothes seem out of keeping with both the scope of his international influence and the deal he's about to complete, with a man he believes to be the head of a South American drug cartel. "Very easy," replies the Colombian, whom Paul refers to only as Pepe. In the video recording of the meeting, Pepe sits down just off screen on a matching couch. His disembodied voice speaks in flawless, if heavily accented, English. "Very few people, not too many eyes. It looks like the right place." "Trust me. What's your name again?" "Paul. Paul, trust me, it's the right place. I've been here already for quite a bit of time. And always, me and my organization, we pick places like this. First of all, for corruption. You can buy anything you want here. Anything. You just tell me what you need." "Yeah, it's safe here," Paul says. "If there's a problem here, you can fix it." "I understand this type of place." "Everything is easy here. Just hand to hand, boom, 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 you can see," Pepe says, laughing. "Well, thanks to your guy here, now we're meeting." He gestures at the third man in the room, the European employee of Paul's who goes by the name Jack. It was Jack who made the initial connection between Paul and Pepe. The deal Jack brokered was complex enough that, when I meet him years later, I need him to walk me through it several times. The Colombians, who deal primarily in the cocaine produced in their own country, are looking to expand into methamphetamine, which they want to manufacture in Liberia and distribute to the United States and Europe. Paul, a computer programmer who heads his own kind of cartel based in the Philippines, will provide the materials to build the Colombians' meth labs, precursor chemicals, formulas for cooking them into meth, and a clean room in which to synthesize it all.